In this episode, I talk about intention and surrender, that delicate dance between having a plan and allowing things to happen naturally, between leading our horses to do things and allowing them to offer. So here we go, episode 229, Intention and Surrender. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Okay, this is definitely going to be one of those episodes that's about so much more than horses. As if there could be anything more than horses. Because horses are kind of, I don't know, everything. But horses definitely are an excellent metaphor for life. And even more than just a metaphor, they're an excellent way to practice some of these bigger life things. As with horses is often where we can more easily see the cause and effect of some of these dynamics. We can see the results of what we're doing. So lately I have been upping my meditation practice. For the past couple of years, I've been diving into Dr. Joe Dispenza's work. I know some of you out there listening are already following or practicing his stuff. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Recommend. He's got a bunch of books out there, and I'm really enjoying his type of meditation. Very purposeful, which is a weird thing to say because I'm talking about intention and surrender. But it's really something that I've been enjoying. Enjoying right now. Anyway, so if anybody wants to look into it, Dr. Joe Dispenza. Anyway, so to dissolve into nothing, which is part of the practice of his kind of meditation protocol, to dissolve into nothing and merge into the quantum field of all possibilities takes both a strong intention and an ability to surrender to the unknown. And isn't that just like riding horses or being with horses, right? That dance between leading and following. And just like with riding horses, practicing this kind of meditation and practicing trying to have the intention to dissolve into the unknown, where you don't know what's happening, right? Practicing this can feel everything from like painful torture to the most mystical, amazing experience beyond words. So I've sat for half hour meditations that felt like my body was just in so much discomfort. And then I've done 5 hour meditations, you know, for 5 hours, and it felt like, you know, one. So, we want to hopefully find a way to have these mystical, amazing experiences come to us more often, right? But how do you do that? Like, I want to dive into the unknown and do it on purpose. Or I want to really set that strong intention, but then allow and be open to magical things that I didn't even expect. So I think this is something, hopefully, as horse people, you know, horse is a metaphor for life, right? Life sometimes just does what it wants, just like a horse. So I just love the connection between our horsemanship and the spirituality, or even if it's not spirituality, it's just the kind of navigating life, right? Navigating life. So anyway, I've been really pondering this dance between intention and surrender. And you can think of it logically and kind of get it. Okay, I get it. It's kind of a paradox and it's kind of this tricky little dance. But then to really observe it in ourselves, or we'll just say for myself. I've been, you know, how do I sit down and have this intention and surrender at the same time? Now, it's best not to think about that in the moment that I'm trying to do it, but in between, you know, I like to think about it. And again, this is something I've thought about a lot with horses. It's leading, it's following. And some of you have taken my horsemanship course or in the video classroom. You know, I have actual exercises to do this where you are telling the horse exactly where to go. And then the next moment you let go completely and follow the horse around. And I have examples of doing that, you know, where you're going from no reins to just follow the horse and surrender to the horse to picking up your reins and being very precise. And now the horse is following you. But then in the videos about connection with the reins, we kind of mix and match that. It's like how, you know, that we can be riding with connection, but surrendering and letting the horse dictate where they're going and then drop the reins, but be really clear in our intention. So if you've been following me or you're in the classroom or in the horsemanship course, you've probably played with, I hope you've played with that exercise when it came along. But it's, so things get blended kind of quickly and we'll talk about that. But to understand it more, it's easier to kind of split it up, right? So things about surrender, you know, what does it mean to surrender? And that word can often cause, you know, some people to go, surrender sounds like I'm becoming a victim. So, you know, it could be surrender, it could be following, it could be letting go, it could be accepting, it could be just becoming loose, becoming open, not expecting a specific outcome. So pick the word that feels good to you, right? So surrender doesn't mean we're necessarily giving up, you know, our protection of ourselves. It's just letting go, accepting, following. There's often some optimism that needs to go along with surrender, right? So intention is about having a plan, right? And I've done, I think I did a podcast episode about this, and I know I wrote a blog about this, about the difference between intention and focus, right? So focus can sort of be a pinpoint. I'm going there, and you can point to that thing. And intention for me kind of is the direction we're going. Like, I want to go to there. I have the intention of going that direction. But it's not pinpointed, right? So intention to me has a little bit of process built into it, right? So it's having a plan. It's having that clarity. It's having a specific direction of energy. There's a persistent quality to it, a consistent quality to it. And yeah, there can be an expectation of a specific result. Like, I want to go that direction, so I arrive there. And so intention is really a function of our brain, right? We have to think, we're deciding, we're choosing, we're maybe even strategizing a bit, where surrender is really more a function of the heart, right? We have to trust. There, like I said, there's an emotional component to surrender, right? Because we have to trust and be somewhat optimistic. For our intention to work well, we have to have clarity. We can't bounce around from intention to intention or have a million ideas all at once. And for surrender, we have to feel it. It's hard to pretend to trust when we don't feel like trusting. It's hard to open your heart and let go if you're afraid that something terrible is going to happen or you're defensive. And this is why it's more important to get the dynamic working well, independent of the results. So for you and your horse, it's better to feel the artful dance between intention and surrender, doing simple things or in situations where you can be super clear and feel super good about it without judging it for being too basic, rather than attempting something out of your scope or more advanced at the expense of that artful dance of intention and surrender. And it's not so simple, Right. So this dance is like, it's like walking a tightrope, right? So you're walking the tightrope, and the people who do that, you know, can sometimes have that big bar that they're holding across their shoulders or in their arms. And it's tipping from one, little the other, little one, little the other. Because the reality is we have to make those little decisions in the moment. Where are we and what do we need to adjust? So just like walking a tightrope, better that you start 3 inches off the ground and become successful, maybe with a wider rope, than to go, I'm going to cross the Grand Canyon. Let's go. Right? Because we need to feel safe. You need to feel it's possible in order to trust and be optimistic and be relaxed enough in your body to have that clarity and have that clarity pass through your body that's free of brace. So, of course, in the process, we're not going to always get it right. I mean, we're going to be over-controlling at times. You know, we're going to control just enough and maybe a little bit more than we need. And there's going to be times that we aren't clear enough, right? We have an idea and we're sort of saying it to our horse, but maybe we have some other conflicting aids on there, right? Even if our mind is clear, sometimes the message can still get muddied just because of how we're riding. And, you know, doing our best isn't always, you know, pure and perfect. So sometimes the way to progress or to get out of a rut is to purposely practice doing one more than the other. And especially if it's opposite to your normal tendency, right? So if we're always kind of sometimes leading and sometimes following and doing that little dance between one or the other, and, you know, we're not sure what we're doing or we want to get more clarity. And, you know, if everything's working, just keep doing what you're doing. But if you're feeling stuck about something, this would be a great opportunity to think about this and to look and go, all right, well, let me first, you know, let me notice. And then if I tend to be a little bit on the like strong intention and we're going to make sure we get there side of things, then you might just on purpose be a little more open, a little more surrender. It's like, well, okay, let's just, you know, I'll follow you just a little bit. Maybe not, it could be more or just more often, or maybe in things that you don't normally follow. It's an experiment, right? So you can say, okay, well, I tend to do it this way and I'm going to try doing it the other way. You might look at times that you normally follow or allow something that the horse had an idea about or a preference for. And if you notice that you tend to do that, then that's just a choice. It's like an intersection. It's a decision point. And you could say, well, usually I do that, but let me try just doing this. And neither one of these options has to be harder or easier for the horse, or there's not necessarily an inherent controlling is always bad and hard and mean to the horse, and surrendering is always good and nice and easy to the horse. Like I can, that's not necessarily the case, right? Sometimes if we follow the horse in certain situations, he's going to get himself into trouble, right? And sometimes there is a beauty and a balance and a softness in precision, right? The beauty of maintaining a balance rather than, you know, having to overcorrect all the time or something like that. So again, sometimes the way to progress is to purposely practice just doing something differently. Do the opposite of what your normal tendency is, but do it consciously and do it with great awareness and noticing. So here's my little challenge for you. This is going to be a short podcast, and that'll give you more time to practice this. Because I want you to start noticing this, maybe not even just with your horsemanship, but maybe just, you know, with other things. So if you, you know, take the next couple days, just take the next couple days and commit to noticing. And just see if you can notice all the different moments where you're in one mode or the other. And sometimes, like I said, it'll be really clear, like I am totally controlling and have a strong intention in this huge moment. Or you're just like, I'm just going to sit here and see what happens. And sometimes it's going to be a little more layered, right? You're doing a little bit of one, but some of the other at the same time. But see if you can play with just noticing. Notice your tendencies with your horse, with your life, and almost like you're observing yourself. Like if somebody's, you know, if there's a scientist following you around and they have a clipboard and they have two columns and they put little check marks every time you follow and surrender and every time you have a strong intention and you lead, and they're just going down, putting little tick marks in each column. So see if you can, you know, that might be fun. I think it might be fun. And so notice when you're in each kind of mode, and then notice when you transition from one to the other. So I think that's interesting, right? So you could like follow, surrender. And then at some point you're like, that's enough. Nope. I have my idea now. And that might come for different reasons. Like it might come from finally you just get like frustrated and you're like, ugh, you know, I keep following and being nice and soft and now my horse is walking all over me and now I'm going to put my foot down. That would be interesting information. Or it might be that you're following and your horse is making really cool decisions and you're loving what they're doing. And then you see something unsafe ahead, and then you switch to having the intention and redirecting, and that was for the really good reasons. So I think it'd be interesting to notice when do you switch, and then like how, like what happens? Does it switch easily? Can you easily transition to leading and having an intention? Does your horse go, oh, sure, or not? Some horses have trouble switching to being the leader, right? You let them do whatever they want and they just stand there like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And again, there's absolutely no right or wrong with anything, with any of this. But I think it'll be really, really interesting because you can notice what you are doing and then kind of go, how are the results I'm getting? Do I like them? And then you can compare. And if you're like, well, I love my results, so now this is just an interesting thought experiment and I'm gaining more awareness about myself. And maybe now I have more information to like make it even better. Or you might go, yeah, you know, I've been really struggling, or I've had this challenge, or my horse and I are butting heads, or it's nice, but I'm just not progressing. And then you can look at your little clipboard and go, huh. I have like all my stuff is in one column, or, you know, here's these situations where I'm one way, but I could actually try playing with the other way and seeing what happens. And so here's the thing, like when you, well, awareness is always going to be good, right? Information is good. Awareness is good. And if you practice focusing on one mode consciously, this is what I'm like when I have an intention. This is how I follow through with the intention. This is how I help my horse understand my intention. This is how I embody my intention. And like really pay attention to that. And then separate from that, you can go on a little quest and go, okay, you know, now I'm going to focus just on surrendering. I'm going to spend the next week just focusing on all the ways I can notice surrendering. And so you can get really conscious about that and notice, like, when do you feel perfectly fine to surrender? When is it harder for you to surrender? What does it look like when you're not fully surrendering? Where does the tension sit? You know, what does your horse do? And so you can pay attention to being very aware, very conscious, and increase your skills at surrendering. It's a skill. It's a skill set. It's a mental, emotional, physical skill set. And so then another principle that if you've been listening to me long enough, you know, that I use, which is whatever two qualities you want at the same time, you practice them separately and alternate between them. right? So if you can take time to go, right, I'm going to take the next day or 2 days or the next week, and I'm, of course, you're going to be doing everything, but you're going to really focus on paying attention to one and then really focus and pay attention to the other, practice doing one more than the other one, then the next sessions, you know, practice doing the other one and being really conscious. Now you can combine them and they can blend. And it really is ultimately a blend. Plus, you're going to know yourself more, how you do each and how you can combine them. And so it is possible to have an intention in one sort of system and be surrendering in the other system at the same time. So, and again, leading, following, intention, surrender. So I could be riding with the intention of a 20 meter circle in a very precise working gait, like really like going for the 10 in my, you know, first level test or something like that. Like really, like this is it. Like I am on that circle. I'm aligned. I'm at this tempo. Everything. I'm just like really have this strong intention to be like laser beam. But there, it could be that my horse picks up the canter and I could totally follow that. Or my horse starts becoming more cadenced, right? This is really common. So you're doing all this work, you're getting aligned, you're staying really focused. And one of the outcome results of precision done in a really nice way is your horse becomes free. They're so aligned, they're so consistent that they're not falling out of and back into balance. And all of a sudden, oh my gosh, their shoulders start to get freer. They start swinging, they start moving and becoming more free in their body. And you can follow that, even though you were at this little metronome trot at a certain amplitude of movement through your seat. Now they start swinging. You can still keep that original intention of the 20 meter circle and that precise working gait and be ready to surrender to the cadence and let yourself move. Or like I said, if they pick up a canter, today I was riding core and I was like really focusing on my 20 meter circle, which is probably why I use that example. And I started thinking that maybe this would be a great time to ask for a transition. And then she just cantered, like this beautiful transition. And I was there to follow it. So keeping having an intention in one system, but surrendering to something else that comes in, the great unknown, the surprise canter depart. And so again, once you're familiar with intention and surrender and intention surrender, and you know how they feel, you're going to better understand what's happening with you and your horse, what's happening with you in your life. You're gonna like, oh, this happened and I just went with it. Or this happened and it really got me cranky because I wanted it to happen the other way. And you can notice that you're creating undue stress and tension from just that inability to switch to surrender mode when something comes up. So you can also, by paying attention, you can understand the pros and cons for each horse in each moment, right? So after, let's say that example again, I'm trotting around and I have a strong intention of the precision of the circle and then I surrender to the canter depart that my horse offered. I can, after that's done, I can decide, I can then think, I go, well, how did that work out? Right. And was that something positive? Did I regret that? Like, did anything fall apart after that? So I can notice what happened. I'm like, oh, they just offered a canter depart and I surrendered and went with it. And I can scan my body and know that I really did. Like I didn't flinch and grab on her at the, you know, I was like, oh, we're cantering. And as instantaneously as I could, surrendered and went with it. And, you know, then I can decide, I can look and go, all right, well, how was she after that? Do I need to have a different intention moving forward? So like for some horses who perhaps normally have a lot of tension in their transitions, allowing it could really build confidence in their counterparts. So for Cora, that was it. She can sometimes be a little tense about her counterparts and, you know, unduly. And so one thing, what I noticed is as I was trotting around, and then she just was like, "Ooh, I feel like cantering." And she did it. It was a beautiful transition. I went with it. And she was more relaxed after that. Her trot was freer. She wasn't worried about the canter. And then the next canter to part after that was just as good or better. So I can rewind the tape and go, oh, if she offers, go with it, because that tends to improve things in the bigger picture. But for other horses, if they pop into the canter and I allow it, and then maybe it happens again, and I allow it, and it happens again, and I allow it, that actually could start to interfere with their ability to maybe find more stability at the trot, right? So some horses, they're trying to get the trot, they're not quite there, and often like a trot that's a little tense in the back, or one leg is weaker than the other, or they're a little bit crooked and asymmetrical, they'll go into the asymmetrical gait of the canter in an unbalanced way, right? The trot becomes unbalanced in a way that it starts to feel more like a canter. And so they just take the easy road and they're like, "Ah, just canter," right? Instead of finding that stability at the trot. So with that horse, if I follow it and follow it again and follow it again, I might not be able to find that more stable trot because I never get a chance to have that consistency. So it doesn't mean I punish them for doing it. It just means I set a stronger intention to stay in the trot. I know that I can't just follow the trot and see what happens. I have to be like, I am trotting. I really have that intention of, yeah, it's a trot, and it's a trot, and it's a trot, and it's a trot. Now, stronger intention, but if you over control, and you're not blending some degree of following, you actually might cause the tension and imbalance that causes the horse to want to pop into the canter. And this on the same, you know, with the other end of it, like allowing, like there's an emotional component to allowing and following, right? So if I didn't trust my horse when they make their own canter departs, then it's going to be really hard to follow, right? I'm going to be like, yes, it's a strategically good idea to follow my horse if she accidentally canters. But if I'm afraid of what happens once they canter, it's going to be really hard to do that. That's that emotional. We have to be in a position where we can trust. And that's why finding the circumstance, making it simple enough, low stakes enough that you actually can follow, right? So if I was afraid of what was going to happen when she cantered, then it's not a transition issue. The transition trot to canter is not the issue. It's a trust issue. And if I'm not trusting and I'm going, oh my God, I hope she doesn't canter, I'm probably not following well enough at the trot also. So I know when I talk about all these different possibilities and scenarios, it might start to sound a bit confusing. Now you can understand why I like Joe Dispenza's meditations, where I get to swim in the quantum field of all possibilities. It's like my home. Anyway, the reality is there is a lot going on when you ride a horse. That's just the truth. So I'm here to bring you the truth. And there's a lot of stuff going on as you move through life, right? So knowing that there is this weaving together of an intention and surrender, knowing that that exists, I find helpful, right? It's like, okay, no wonder it's confusing. No wonder it's hard, because there's this thing of these two opposite things weaving together. So I hope in saying it all this way, I hope I'm not just making you more aware of all the ways to mess things up. I hope I'm also helping you to be more aware of all the possible ways you actually could improve. all these nuances, all these little, could I be more clear? Could I have more of an intention here? Could I let go a little bit more there? That's the upside of possibility, because there's more possibilities to make things even better. So where can you bring more clarity of intention? Where are you being fuzzy or vague? And where can you bring more surrender, more relaxing, more going with the flow? What do you need for that to happen? What are the circumstances? What does your horse need to know? Where can you do that the best? Being really honest with yourself. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally video classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the video classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1 week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. And we add new content every month. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. So the really magical moments with horses, and I think in life, are when we are really fully in this dance. And when you are where you want to be, exactly, and there's still room to be surprised. There's still room for things to be even better than what we imagined. You know, sometimes people describe this dance as having an intention about what happens, but not for how it shows up. But I also think it can be about having an intention for how to be and being open to what shows up. So playing with, I think, and just being with horses at liberty leaves, I think that gives a lot of opportunity to play with this. Riding bridleless or with no reins leaves a lot of opportunity to play with this. But it for sure can happen doing precision work too, like the example that I gave. So however you're playing with your horse or just being with your horse, you can play with this. You can play with this in very, very normal moments, just hanging out with your horse in the barn, grooming him. You'll find this dynamic coming up. So I tempt you to notice your tendencies with horses and with life. And I wonder if they're the same with horses as with life, or are they different? How? And then, you know, ask yourself, how's it working? How's it working? What do you want to keep? What do you want to change? And explore the ways you can change and how you might navigate that tightrope of intention and surrender differently. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.